This Saturday, April the 14th, my dear people, marks the 45th anniversary of the ordination of Bishop Kelly to the Holy Priesthood. As a young priest, as many of you do know, His Excellency traveled throughout the United States, establishing mass centers and providing the sacraments for the faithful in the wake of Vatican II. It was his love for God, it was his love for souls that moved him to found our congregation of sisters, the Daughters of Mary, who would assist the dying and educate children as they have been doing these past 30 years and more. We owe much thanks to Bishop Kelly for his self-sacrificing zeal, his unending efforts, as it were, to provide for us. It was 20 years ago or so that he established the Congregation of St. Pius V so that there would be priests for the future generations to administer the sacraments. My dear people, we owe His Excellency a debt of gratitude. And I mention this to you because I would like you to please remember him in your prayers on that day, if possible, to attend Mass on Saturday, April 14th, and offer your Holy Communions for him. Remember him in your family rosary that day, because His Excellency has spent himself for us and providing for us and for future generations, and we owe this to him. Now, the epistle appointed to be read for the first Sunday after Easter is taken from St. John's first epistle, chapter 5. Dearly beloved, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit which testifieth that Christ is the truth, and there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that give testimony on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God which is greater, because he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth in the Son of God hath the testimony of God in himself. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were gathered together for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. He said therefore to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father hath sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, who was called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put in thy finger hither, and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." Many other signs also did Jesus in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to share with you some excerpts from a letter that was written by a certain Catholic man in Spain during the Spanish Civil War at the siege of the Alcazar in the city of Toledo. Now, the Spanish Civil War began in 1936 and it ended in 1939. The war was fought between two factions, the Nationalists under the leadership of General Francisco Franco and the founders of the New Republic of Spain. But you have to understand that this republic was not a republic according to our understanding of the word republic. The new Spanish Republic, founded in 1931, was an atheistic, anti-Catholic, communist state. The communist leaders in Spain at that time were trained, many of them were trained in Moscow. And they disguised their atheistic, anti-Catholic government under the name of republic to deceive the other nations of the world. Hence, they called themselves republicans. And while they promised freedom for all, it was not long after they actually seized power that they worked very hard to destroy Catholic Spain. They confiscated church property. They took even private property away from Catholic people. It was not long before a persecution broke out and thousands of Catholic priests, religious brothers and sisters were put to death. Numerous churches and monasteries and convents were confiscated by these so-called republicans. The Civil War broke out in 1936. It began when a group of military generals who were Catholic, in particular General Franco, raised up arms against the communists. Franco and his allies called themselves the Nationalist Party. And after 3 years of very intense fighting, they defeated this communist regime. And by the mercy of God and the courage of the Catholic soldiers and people of Spain, the country was saved from this ruthless anti-Catholic government. What is interesting to note is that what these communists and all their brutality and brainwashing could not accomplish was accomplished by the heresy of modernism in the wake of Vatican II. The communists could not break the Catholic faith in the Spanish people. But in the wake of Vatican II, Spain, like most of the world, suffered an unprecedented loss of faith and morals, which is still going on today. The communists disguised themselves under the name of republic. The modernists called themselves necessary reformers. And they promoted these so-called necessary reforms while they donned the clothing of sheep. But among the many battles fought during the Spanish Civil War was the siege of the Alcazar in the city of Toledo. Alcazar in English means royal fortress. And the Alcazar of Toledo was indeed the royal fortress of the city. It was actually built by the Romans in the 3rd century when they had conquered Spain. It was rebuilt in the 16th century by the Emperor Charles V. But in 1936, from July 21st till September the 27th, the Catholic forces in Toledo, under the command of a Colonel Jose Muscardo, who was a devout Catholic man, they were held up in the Alcazar by an overwhelming army of communist soldiers who surrounded the fortress but were unable to breach it for months. When they at length did finally break through, the reinforcements from Franco arrived and the communists were defeated. But during these 2 months, those who were trapped, as it were, within the Alcazar suffered very much, even as they daily repelled their attackers. Here is what one of the defenders who survived the battle, the siege of the Alcazar, here is what he wrote about it. "We are few, but they, the communists, are many. But thank God that numbers are not all, for they do not have faith, but we believe. We have faith. They would destroy our Catholic faith. They do not pray, but we pray." Then he goes on to say, "I sometimes cry, but still I am not afraid. If I die defending the Alcazar, I die, but I know the Catholic faith cannot die, for they cannot destroy our faith." And then further down the letter, he describes the conditions in which they lived at that time. "We are filthy. We have not washed, and our clothes are a stench. We have insects all around us. We live in misery and suffering. We have little food and water. And though we suffer such things," he goes on to say, "we do not blaspheme God. We do not swear. We trust because we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we know that our Catholic faith will endure forever." Now each year, my dear friends, on this first Sunday after Easter, the Church presents this very familiar gospel depicting our divine Savior in St. Thomas. And the Church does this in order to strengthen our faith and to confirm us in the practice of our holy religion. When our Lord had appeared to the apostles for the first time on that first Easter Sunday and showed them his wounds, they believed. Thomas was not with them, but he was with them the following Sunday. And when our Lord returned and showed Thomas his wounds, it was only then that he believed. God uses the doubt of St. Thomas the Apostle, St. Gregory the Great says, to confirm us in the faith. His disbelief was the most useful to strengthen the faith of subsequent believers. And thus, when Thomas finally put his finger into the holes in our Lord's hands and his hand into his side, it was only then that he believed. And our Lord said, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. But blessed are they who have not seen and have believed." It's as if our Lord said, "Blessed are they who, in order to believe in me and my gospel, do not need to see me or to touch me." The brave defenders of the Alcazar believed. They believed in the divinity of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and only Savior of the world. They believed that the Catholic Church, founded by Christ, is the one true church, and the Catholic faith is the one and only faith given to us by Christ. And yet they never saw Christ nor touched his sacred wounds as Thomas did. They did not put their fingers into the wounds of his hands or their hands into his side, and yet they believed. And so great was their faith, for it was their Catholic faith and their belief in Christ that sustained them, that encouraged them, and that strengthened them to patiently endure human misery and even bloody persecution. They knew they were not just fighting and suffering for an ancient fortress. They knew they were not just fighting for a city or a piece of ground. They knew in their hearts that they were fighting for Christ and their Catholic faith. And so, my dear friends, it must be with us too. We may not now be engaged in a bloody conflict for our faith, but all of us here this morning are engaged in a spiritual conflict for our faith and ultimately for the eternal salvation of our souls. Our Catholic faith and our Catholic morals are under siege. And the filth that we have to live among in this world is the impurity, the immorality, the immodesty in dress, and the perversion that is all around us. And how often we are ridiculed for the practice of our Catholic faith. How often we are thought to be different by the world and even extremists for our adherence to Catholic moral teaching. And how overwhelming is the pressure, especially on our young Catholic people, the pressure to cast off their faith and morals and go along with the world. Too many of them have, sad to say, forsaken their faith in order to fit in. Too many of our Catholic young people have laid down their arms and have surrendered to the enemies of salvation. But many too, my dear friends, thanks be to God, have persevered and are persevering in their faith. Like the Catholic defenders of the Alcazar who persevered in the midst of misery and hardship, destitution and daily fighting, we too, my dear friends, we believe in the one true Catholic faith. Let us, like them, persevere in our faith despite our many trials and hardships, despite the many battles that we face in our daily struggle, to love God and to save our immortal souls. For nothing else really matters except that we love God and save our souls. May we never then be ashamed of Christ or ashamed to profess our Catholic faith, which is, as St. John tells us in today's epistle, the victory which overcometh the world. Let us then, with God's grace and the powerful intercession of Our Lady, patiently persevere in our belief and practice of our Catholic faith, no matter how hard or difficult it may be. Ever mindful of the words of that courageous defender of the Alcazar, we believe, and our Catholic faith will endure forever. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.